Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 9th on the West Coast, now May the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and hope you enjoy tonight's show. I want to start off, first of all, with all of the insanity that's going on in the world and the ruse of the world's number one terrorist finally after 10 years gone after to influence the lagging, failing, sinking, and evaporating popularity, even amongst those that collect food stamps and government-subsidized rent. The premise that finally Osama bin Laden was caught and shot and dumped in the sea is as ridiculous as every other story they tell us, especially about the economy or vaccinations or the peak oil that began in 1973 and is still going on today. Doesn't matter what they're talking about, they lie. They lie about everything. And in the international freedom movement, in the activist patriot movement, occasionally we lose one of our own, either through the evil deeds of the Illuminati or a particular government in a particular country. And sometimes it's just time for such an individual to move on. I got the news this weekend that my good friend Christopher Holmes, PhD, who's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints and also hosts his own show on BBS Radio called Zero Point, that his significant other, Karen T. Hale, the love of his life and his companion, passed away very suddenly. So I want to extend my deepest, sincere condolences out to Christopher and his family and the family of Karen Hale. And just let you know that though one of us has passed on, I know that life goes on. And I know that we can tremendously influence things here on this planet once we leave. In fact, we gain a lot of our power because we remember who we are. I don't doubt that Karen knew who she was. And certainly she's experiencing who she is in its fullness. So I would like everyone to pray for Christopher, pray for Karen Hale's family. They're up in Canada. If you need to direct your energy and your will that way. And I want to pay a tribute to both Christopher and Karen with a song that's really what it's all about.
Father, I just want to stop for a minute and just say I love you. Just want to tell you thank you just for being patient with me and just for giving me another chance. You've always been there for me and you were the father that I never knew. I just want to say.
without purpose.
My purpose has been changed.
When I did this.
When I called out your name.
Do you love him?
My love.
I give. Do you love him?
My love.
I give.
My all.
You don't say that again. I just wave your hand and say, your touch.
Your touch.
Jesus, your kiss.
Kiss.
And your grace.
Grace.
Your grace to me.
To me.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Deep.
Jesus is deeper than. Bless your name.
My soul can see.
Let me tell you what happened.
My God.
It changed.
Has been changed.
When I got down on my knees.
When
I called out your name.
Out your name.
Anybody here love my father?
I
said, anybody here love my father?
I love.
Is it worth it? I give you
my love,
and I give you
my all.
And when
this world
has come to where, and paradise, when I see your face, when you call for me, Father. You'll wipe every tear, Father.
Begin.
And this is what you'll say.
Welcome. You'll say.
When I see
your face.
How many want to see him someday?
My love.
Oh, don't play with me. How many of you want to see him one day? Open up your mouth and say, hallelujah.
Christopher, that was for you, my brother. I love you, and I send you God's peace. Also, please extend our deepest sympathy to Karen's family. For my listeners out there, if you would like to learn about the life of Karen T. Hale, Christopher Holmes will be my special guest 3 times during the month of June. June 2nd, and then 2 other dates. We've selected the 16th and the 30th. So be sure to tune in to that. Not much more I can say right now. Certainly the music of Kirk Franklin and the family said it all. My life, my love, my all. Now I'd like to move on and bring tonight's guest on board, Evident Footprints. He is a regular Monday night guest. He hosts his own radio show on the Micro Effect Network, and the show is called The Story Behind the Story. He is a naturopath, a researcher, a journalist, an essayist, an author, and our good friend, Dr. A. Truat. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening again, once again to you, Don. Golly, it's quite a fitting tribute, I must say. That was really nice of you. And just for your information, Don, and our listeners don't know this gentleman, but you do, and he just brings out how fragile life is, and you know, each and every day is a blessing and a gift. That's why it's called a present. The present is a gift. But you met him once though when he came out to Utah. My friend Randy Agate, he's quite ill. He had a stroke last Friday, and he's
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he's. I've been to see him a few times. It's not good to see it. Oh well, you know, death is a part of living, and it doesn't make it any easier though.
Well, my own father passed away, as you know, a little bit over 2 years ago, April 1st, actually, 2 years ago, and of a stroke. And we prayed, and he lived on for another 7 weeks, only the doctor said he was going to die that night. So it's amazing what prayer can do. But it was his time to go, and I suspect that it was Karen Hale's time to go. Now, I neglected to mention, by the way, anyone interested in reading the tribute that Christopher has begun at his website, you can go to Zero Point, that's spelled out Zero, Z-E-R-O, or Z, as they say in Canada, E-R-O-P-O-I-N-T.ca, and just scroll down a little bit on the left side of the page, you'll see the tribute and a nice picture of Karen. Christopher intimated to me that about 5 minutes before she passed, she urged Christopher to take a picture of her. She wanted to show off a T-shirt that had a David Dees message on it, his wonderful artwork. And it's amazing how these things happen, but we'll understand them someday if we don't understand them now. So, again, our prayers also go out now to Randy Agate in Ogden, Utah. Well, True, you had a very interesting show today. You talked about this ruse that's being played on the public, and I don't know if you're as fed up with the topic as I am. It's insanity. How the media is pushing this, not because of truth, but because of propaganda. I'm convinced of that. The history of this story proves that that this is a big hoax. Any thoughts?
I was a lot of thoughts on this. It just, you know, as if the entire 9/11 story, the hoax to begin with, isn't bad enough to put the cherry on top is this story. It just boggles the imagination. And again, it's just amazing to me to see the majority of people on the media just bowing like sheep. Obamas. They're not asking the tough questions, and you don't even see it in the mainstream media. That interview with him that was aired on 60 Minutes was an absolute joke. They just offered up nothing but congratulatory powder puff questions. I mean, what I wanted to have this whole thing hinge on is what I talked about today, and I'd like to share it with your listeners tonight, Don. And again, don't take our word for it. Do your own research and homework. But it's clear that the entire hinge of their story, that this individual was really Osama versus some prince with a harem from Dubai, the Freudian slip that Obama did say on the 60-minute interview. The whole thing hinges on something called DNA forensics evidence.
Yes. And this is very interesting, so pay attention, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, I'm not a forensics DNA expert, but I know people that are. I take my hat off to Mike Rupert and Crossing the Rubicon, his website. And Rupert saw, he comes from a background of investigative criminal detective work. I mean, he worked for the LAPD. He knows forensics. There is not a DNA forensics lab in this world that can turn around conclusive DNA evidence in under 12 hours of time. Okay? There just is not, it's not physically possible for a number of reasons. The DNA forensics work, you have to, first of all, prepare the tissue, the sample correctly. Then you have to basically let it, shall we say, mature before the evidence needs to basically cross and recross and cross check. It takes, in a fast track, best case, even CIA ordered world, it's going to take 72 hours for conclusive proof. By the time it took to get the DNA conclusively done, even on fast track, this so-called corpse was in the bottom of the ocean, buried. I mean, that is the entire status of their case. They performed a DNA test. Now, where's the mainstream media? Where's CNN? Where's ABC? Whoever. Just, where are the other countries? Where's France? Where's Germany? Where's Italy? Demanding copies of this forensics laboratory test.
Yeah, what does Bin Laden's family have to say about it? I suppose you could go to Caldwell, Texas and find that out. I'm probably hiding with the Bush people.
You've got the story is now that he was there with three of who knows how many wives that Bin Laden has or had. These wives are, the story is now, they're in protective custody of the Pakistani ISE, the ISI, the secret police of Pakistan. Now, what's their story? Is this really Bin Laden, or is it again some rival sheik or prince from Dubai? There's no doubt there was a special ops going in there. There's no doubt something went down. I would think, with the age of Whack the Dog and all of this, who knows?
Well, there are several questions that arise in my mind. Didn't the FBI say that there was no proof whatsoever that Bin Laden was responsible? In fact, they didn't consider him at all to be responsible for what occurred on 9/11. aside from all the things that debunk the whole story, anyway, let's look at what the FBI said. You recall that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So why would the government go after somebody who the FBI, their own law enforcement investigative agency, national agency, why would they go against their findings? You see, that's another aspect of the story that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, indeed. And
other than to gain popularity for the usurper, to detract attention away from the certificate of live birth issue, the economy, Obamacare, all the Gulf of Mexico, the illegal foreign bank accounts, you know, the identity theft.
I submit it's much deeper than that, Don.
Sure.
I submit that there's a play being enacted here on a world stage, and again, Mike Rupert said it very well in his piece, and I concur 100%, where 3+ billion people's lives are at stake with this play, this game that's going on. And let me explain. There's out of the blue. Now this is again just very recently. It should have been done 5 or 6 years ago, or perhaps when Bin Laden was still living on dialysis in some cave in Bora Bora. But it was simply, if you, meaning the United States of America, Special Forces, British MI6, or whoever, take out Obama, the threat was clear that there would be a nuclear retaliation. Now, who has these suitcase nukes that has been well documented have come up missing when the Soviet Union supposedly dismantled? Again, I look back at and understand who the Soviet Union leaders really are, and they are Khazarian
mm-hmm.
Jews with a wish to control the world. What better way to keep the world hostage than to have these the ultimate terrorist weapon going off the suitcase nukes? This is something that you really can't defend against, because they're so easy to hide anywhere. It could be, golly, in a series of potential places in metropolitan areas, not only in America but across the world. And Don, it would seem to me that this would be the perfect cover story for an even bigger false flag event than September 11th.
Yeah. I would say you're alluding to Israel, in a sense. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it's not limited to suitcase nukes. That's a good story, but we have missing nuclear weapons that were reported a couple of years ago, if you remember, from Minot Air Force Base to Barksdale Air Force Base, and the intel that plane actually landed at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada before going on to Louisiana. And it was supposed to go from Minot Air Force Base to Texas to be disarmed. These were live weapons, as far as I understand. So I bring that up as a reminder to the listening audience that these events occurred, and although the story is consistently suitcase nukes, and I don't dispute that that's a threat, the same people have much larger weapons. The Dome of the Rock incident is indicative of that.
Oh, yes, and don't forget, Israel is a major nuclear power. It's just, the rhetoric has been ramped up again about a planned raid on Iran. In fact, on the internet, it would seem the biggest chorus for this thing being a hoax is coming out of the halls of Iran right now. They're the ones that seem to be really questioning this in a major way. And, maybe there's more world leaders and countries raising eyebrows and discussing this. Maybe there is, but I don't hear it personally. I don't see it. But I concur that the, or I believe and submit that the agenda is set for the some kind of another major event of terrorist activity. It just seems awful suspicious that Al-Qaeda would come and now, you know, just weeks before this would threaten nuclear attack if Obama is killed, and suddenly Obama's killed. This is what gets me.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we've discussed on past shows, they've set up the pretext for what would end up becoming a race war amongst the people. They just want to see people inflamed over, you know, the first, what they call African American. He's neither African nor American. president. Number one, thrown out of office or have something happen to him, as you suggested. That's been speculated by many people, put out there, even discussed on the mainstream media. And when they discuss it, there's a reason why that story is being promoted, to set up another false flag event or to outright tell us what they plan on doing. That's usually what happens with false flag events. They've got to put it out in a movie. They've got to entertain at least the propaganda long enough to have it be in people's consciousness that somehow when these people sit behind a desk and read off of a teleprompter that they're telling us the truth. And nothing is further from the truth than that reality. How those news anchors and journalists, as they call themselves, can even live with themselves. But, it's spiritual warfare in the end. It's what it is. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, what happened Thursday last, you have Obama going into the 9/11 memorial there at Ground Zero and lay this red, white, and blue wreath with this pomp and circumstance, and we just find out that they've just barely completed the memorial fountains, and those things are completely symbolic mm-hmm. of the Kabbalah, the cubes. Okay, there's two perfect cubes with water flowing down them in a perpetual flow. Going into another inner cube that the water just disappears, goes into inner earth. That you have the placement of the names of the victims, all of this in a registry. The official dedication will be on the 10th year anniversary, September 11th. But what a fitting new story to go with the announcement of the placing of the names in a registry. Just fit very, very well. Just very, very convenient.
Yes. Now, why do you suppose there is this push to build mosques in this country? I mean, it's something that's gone on for a long time, never got any attention, but now this is being pushed and it's being recommended by politicians that we do this. And I want to describe a situation that's been going on in California. I don't remember what town it is exactly, but I think it's near San Diego. And I don't remember the name of the imam who's trying to get this mosque built. But there's an issue there where they bought a piece of property, and next to the property is a pig farmer. And they're upset about the way the pig farm smells. So they're going to voice their opinion that this guy has to stop being a pig farmer and has to get rid of his pigs. Now, I don't know if he raises them for food or he just likes pigs.
Well, I don't know if this is the same story, Don, but isn't this the guy that is doing pig races now?
Yes, yes, same guy. But listen to this. The imam is one of the guys featured in a video who supposedly harbored some of these alleged box cutter toting hijackers from 9/11. Okay? He's associated by image and name and deed with one of these guys. But it's part of the whole Al-Qaeda ruse. It's a CIA psyop is what it is. And it's taken on an international characteristic because of the armies from other countries that have joined in this bogus search for the terrorists. All they need to find the terrorists is grab a mirror and look in it. There's the terrorists. Okay? Now, they've inflamed people, I'm sure. There are people that are having fun blowing up buildings and murdering millions of people. They're having fun. It's sick. Or they're absolutely mind-controlled and don't even realize what they're doing. But that's a dimension of this whole thing that people are really afraid to look at. They go into denial right away because they're so programmed to think that the governments of the world are benevolent, that they're serving the people, that they're protecting the people, when all they're doing is robbing and raping and plundering and murdering millions of people. You could probably say billions even in that regard.
Well, indeed. And again, look at the people behind the Oval Office, and again, just right after the election was completed, you see Zbigniew Brzezinski and Heinz Kissinger, you know, basically pulling the strings of this puppet. And I just would remind the listeners that right in the first of the year, when Egypt, the Egypt trouble was brewing, Heinz Henry Kissinger did make the public comment that this, and I was shocked that he made this admission, that this is only the first act of a play, a major world play, with the world being the stage.
Mm-hmm. You know, coincidentally, some of the sports channels are doing stories on Osama bin Laden. I mean, what the heck does bin Laden have to do with baseball? But they have to have everybody stand up and sing a song or put their hand on their heart. And they're doing this on their Sports Center casts, like on ESPN. They're talking about the heroism of Pat Tillman. Now, if he was a hero, it was because he enlisted under the belief that he was doing something for his country and for the world. And when he found out, it was nothing but a bogus war. It was about drug dealing in Afghanistan. And when he found that out, they murdered him. And that makes him a hero? Or does that make the cause heroic? Any comment, Drew?
Well, you're right on point, of course. And I've said this from day one, beginning in the 2000 when I was doing the radio show live one day a week. It's clear that the lion's share, the vast majority of raw opium comes from Afghanistan, always has, and probably always will. As much as I've read some reports, as much as 95% of the world supply. Now, what does that mean? Well, I wish that I could take the time and do a video showing the oxycodone, oxycontin, your morphine, all of these pain meds, and even your SSRI inhibitors, the antidepressants, the Prozac, for heaven's sakes, is one, the core component is the opium molecule. Now, the raw opium that goes into the oxycodone, Oxycontin, you can take these pain meds, Don, and crush them up, put them in a spoon, heat them up, burn off, you know, they'll turn into a, the petrochemical basis will burn off, and then you can have very close to pure heroin once again reverts back to its original form. It's the ultimate hypocrisy for people not to understand that the Taliban in 1999 and into the growing season of 2000 demanded from the Bush cartel. They actually flew in, the Taliban leaders flew into Houston, Texas. This is all well before Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. This was reported in the London Telegraph newspaper in a continuing series of stories. They were negotiating new price points and price banks for their opium poppy crops.
Now, why did they have to go to Houston, Texas?
Well, that's where the Bush oil boys chose to meet them. So you have the meeting ending in a stalemate, and the demands of the Taliban not being met. They resorted, then they got back to Afghanistan and Kabul. They immediately destroyed the entire year's crop. That's sent quite amazing shockwaves through the big pharmaceutical houses. Because you take away, this is like the anchor of their entire world $1 billion-a-year industry, you see.
Mm-hmm. Now, and not to drift off topic, but I had a question, and you brought that up again, so I'd like to ask, what percentage would you estimate that the pharmaceutical industry is using opium-based, what do you call them, concoctions, as selling them as prescription medications, or even over-the-counter?
Well, I did a research piece, and there was a website in 2000. Linking the components of raw opium into, golly, it was a huge percentage. It was well over 65, I think it was close to 70% of prescription drugs are tied to opium in concert with benzene derivatives, which can be manipulated to do so much. And the chemistry laboratories of John D. Rockefeller, just prior to World War II, during the 1930s, the benzene was manipulated to do just about anything as far as making the plastics that we know so well today. We have the styrofoam structures, but they came up with synthetic penicillin. The amoxicillin, these synthetic antibacterial drugs, most people don't realize they are from crude oil. It's a manipulation of the benzene pentagonal-shaped crystal structure.
Don't you find it rather ironic that the Rockefeller patriarch was accused of being a snake oil salesman?
Oh yes, indeed, he was, and that's the
and they turn around and amplify it.
He actually made that. That's where we get the term snake oil. William Rockefeller, he was known. I have this all on a video, even with pictures of it. I did a PowerPoint presentation called "The Trial of the Century." William, his neighbors in upstate New York, gave him the term of Devil Bill. He was going around in the itinerant wagon. He had a concoction, ladies and gentlemen, of raw crude oil mixed with whiskey that he brewed and mixed up. And he actually had the bottles he was selling. They had a picture of a Seneca Indian head on one label. On the back label, it had the caduceus, which as we now know is the symbol of the pharmaceutical cartel, the medical society. The caduceus has nothing to do with medical. It has everything to do with occultic Satanism, however. The caduceus, the serpent on a staff. Now, the neighbors, the people that saw this going on, they that's how they got the term snake oil, because it was oil. It was mineral oil, crude oil, unrefined, light, sweet, crude from Pennsylvania, mixed with whiskey, with the snake caduceus on the label. That's where we got the term snake oil. So the original snake oil salesman was Devil Bill William Rockefeller, the father of John D. Now, it also needs to be said that young John D. made his money as a very young lad, following his father's footsteps. He somehow got a very lucrative contract supplying medicinal grade whiskey as a sedative, and also in the surgical hospitals of both sides of the Civil War. For heaven's sakes,
that called a Johnny Walker Blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's where the money, that's where the empire of John D. began, supplying medicinal whiskey. So when we see the actions of the Taliban threatening the Rockefeller / Rothschild dynasty of their the basic underpinnings of their black ops money, there had to be regime change. Now the question becomes, how do you depose a sovereign government of a country called Afghanistan? How do you do that and get the American people to buy off on it?
You create a bogeyman and then go chase him.
You create first of all, a new Pearl Harbor. The same modus operandi that was used to get America's sentiment in World War II to drive public opinion. It was a tried and true method. I mean, before Pearl Harbor, there was maybe 10% of the population that thought we should intervene in the war in the Pacific or in Europe. But after just hours, days after Pearl Harbor, it was overwhelming, 70%, 80%. People were lined up in the streets, in the recruiting offices to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. I can say in one sentence what I can describe this whole false flag event by merely saying that Osama bin Laden had as much to do with 9/11 as Barack Obama had to do with producing a valid, legitimate certificate of live birth. That's it right there. That's the whole argument. Everything else is just misdirection. Of course, they have an agenda, and that's what we're discussing. But the pretext that this is getting rid of, the Jesse James of 2011, international Jesse James, is ridiculous. And then to make ridiculous photographs, create them with a dyed beard, dyed coal black, and make the ridiculous statement, at least on the radio I heard this, that he was conscientious about his appearance. My God, the guy put a towel around his head and dressed like a woman. Okay? I mean, if you want to talk about your appearance, certainly he wasn't worried about that. The guy's hair was white the last time we saw what may have been a genuine photograph of him or genuine video. White. But now it's black. And they say, well, he was conscientious about his appearance. Give me a break. go ahead.
Yeah.
I know you have similar sentiments about that.
Well, again, the whole central tenet of this incredible myth, this fairy tale, is that they had found out after the fact, of course. And keep in mind, in the 60 Minutes interview yesterday, Obama said he was 55-45%, you know, that he was that this was not the man. But it was only after the event was done that they confirmed who he was, who this dead corpse was. Obviously, he doesn't look at all like what his pictures would look like. But as I said on the show today, good golly, it's quite easy to take those pictures and with Adobe or Photoshop or who, you know, the CIA surely has much more sophisticated means to produce some pretty authentic-looking dead Osama bin Laden pictures.
Mm-hmm. They show us videotaped images of walls laced with barbed wire or razor wire, and then they give us conflicting stories that it's a 15-foot wall or it's an 18-foot wall. It really doesn't matter. They show the building. They tell us the story about how they went in there and captured him, that he used one of his wives as a shield. You know, make him look like he's a chicken and make Obama look like some kind of a hero. It's ridiculous. The whole story is absolutely nothing but a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket full of horse pucky.
Well, you also have Al Jazeera now and other networks that are talking to the people of the neighborhood. I mean, I don't care what, you can't hide out forever in the Muslim enclave there. You can't. The story is that people that came and did services for the occupants there. If this guy was really Osama bin Laden, there they would know it, and they're all just the whole neighborhood is saying no, he wasn't there. This is coming out now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say the same thing about Obama in Indonesia too, and Harvard, and Columbia University, and Occidental, and Hawaii. So, is there any difference between the two? They both work or worked for the CIA. No doubt about that. You know, and this whole thing is nothing but a sick CIA ruse, and everybody can see through it. The only reason they're promoting it on TV is to make certain people look heroic. And to reestablish, and this is all propaganda anyway, popularity. Oh, he got bin Laden, now suddenly he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Still hasn't shown anyone who he is. So it matters not what stories they want to tell us. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it goes back again to the date and time. We shouldn't forget what May 1st is on the satanic calendar and the so-called Book of Shadows, the spell books of the Illuminati. May 1st is their Black Sabbath, high Black Sabbath, called Beltane. Now, there's things that the Book of Shadows calls for. Historically, they predicted a crowning of a May king and queen. There would be a young couple that would be basically tied to the Dark Lord in a joint ruling of the world structure. Well, isn't it funny and odd that Friday the 29th, the eve, the day before the eve of Beltane, just exactly as the Book of Shadows calls for, is the coronation of the hand-clasping, hand-fasting ceremony of the Celtic order of royalty. You have Prince William and his royal wedding to a commoner. You have all this hype going on, all of the ritual, the partying, the receptions, the ritual going on until the next day. It fits so powerfully. Then you have the burning of the fire. The I haven't seen this anymore, Don, but maybe you've seen it. But initially Sunday night, as I went online, there was an Arabic speaking website showing the compound in a massive ball of fire.
No, I didn't see that.
That's what I was shot. I'm not sure if it was Al Jazeera, but it was a big bonfire going on. Now, that's kind of been played down, and the original story was in a huge firefight, and there was, you know, the compound is burning, all the evidence, you know, just a huge, huge conflagration, a huge ball of flames. That's what struck me. Well, that is the, again, the Book of Shadows calls for the bone fire, the bonfire, the Baal, their god, fire. Out of that will come the exaltation of us, of the May Day, the spring rites, where people will revel in joyous excitement. What better stays than to come out with the story out of this bone fire, this compound in flames, came the death of this enigmatic scapegoat. Okay, that's the story as I see it, and boy, it fit the pattern so powerfully. Now, if you have the crowning of Baal's king or the future king, you have this all in ritual. You have it tied in, again, following the Book of Shadows, what they claim to happen in the alignment of the stars, the astrology, the timing of all of this. Make no mistake, the next couple of weeks and months is going to be incredibly hairy if it continues to follow the Book of Shadows script.
Yes. Well, we anticipate them trying to do something because they have everybody back on their heels now, feeling safe and secure, because the ding-dong, the bogeyman, is dead.
Well, then you got this herald, what I call Harry Camping, coming out with all, I mean, where does he get his money to do all these billboards? The end of the world is May 21st. If you go and listen to his bone-dry, bone-headed speech, I got to tell you, this guy is, how he can even get a dozen people following him, frankly, is beyond me. But he comes out, and he has all of this biblical evidence, he says. I don't see it. I don't follow, just because of the Gregorian calendar changes to the timelines. Anyway, he's claiming that the 21st of May will be the day of rapture, where the Christians that believe in his story, that have sent him money, that they'll just go into a cloud and disappear. They'll be here today, goon tomorrow. And then the next day will be the day of judgment, the day of disaster, of chaos. The world, as we know it, will change. The 22nd day of May. Now, I say again, looking at the gematria and the symbolism of the dates and times, 522 is 5 plus 2 plus 2 equals 9 of 11. And there's another 9/11 symbolism.
Mm-hmm. I understand that he said May 21st. I don't know if that would have been a misprint, that's actually found in his Wikipedia.
No, he's saying that that's the day of rapture. It's the day in which the Christians that believe will be taken up before the day of judgment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to make that clear. He's calling for the 22nd to be the, according to him, it's not going to matter because the true Christians that follow him are all going to be saved in a cloud somewhere. They're going to be taken up maybe into a spaceship. I don't know. Okay. But he's definitely in his speeches calling for the 22nd to be the day of conflagration, the day of disaster.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, was he a critic of Richard Nixon by any chance, to your awareness?
I don't know. This guy watching his speeches, watching his videos, which I did over the weekend, I just get a very deep gut ache. Listen to this guy. He just reminds me of that creepy pastor in black on Poltergeist 2 that walks around singing this little song, you know. And again, that's a character created by the Jewish media, the powers that be. So I say this just because of the timing of the threats. If you kill Obama, we'll retaliate with nuclear attack. You have it followed, Don, by this wacky professor, this civil engineer, retired, who suddenly now becomes endowed and imbued with all kinds of money to do this massive billboard campaign. From coast to coast, from Maine to California, from Canada to Mexico, 55 countries, Don, have these billboards in 55 different languages, for heaven's sakes.
Now, are these done under the auspices of the Alameda Bible Fellowship? This is the group he allegedly runs.
That's my point. There's no way they have that much money to do that much of a campaign. There's got to be some other PSYOPs money coming somewhere. It would just seem, I don't see how they can have millions of dollars raised to do these billboards.
Yeah, well, when you do some looking into the websites and the connections there, you find some answers. Trust me on that.
Well, find some answers. I mean, it's something we should probably revisit on my show tomorrow. But I mean, there is so many weird things tied to this. You have the Chinese, these Chinese cities, if you will, these huge complexes that are built, state-of-the-art, new construction, and they're totally empty. For what purpose? You know, is this all an end-game structure where the illuminated ones, these people that follow camping, can be just whisked off to live in these compounds? And I don't know. There's stranger things going on in this world, I tell you. But it just seems awful strange.
Well, it's a distraction. Now, it seems to me that everybody's been saying December 21st, 2012 is the date. Although I heard somebody recently, just a few days ago, come out and say that we have to be wary of March 11th, that began the Aztec calendar. Now we have to be concerned about what was in the Aztec calendar. And I quip, and I'll repeat myself, that we should probably do some research and dig up the old Playboy calendars, the Playmate calendars, and see if we can find some false flag event or the end of the earth in one of those. That's how ridiculous this is. It holds, such a calendar holds no power over the earth.
And the tip of the iceberg.
No pun intended, I take it.
But, you know, I keep saying this to people. I get people all the time now. This Elenine is coming they're matching the NASA and OSA. They're coming out and saying, "Well, look, the alignment of the comet with the planets caused these earthquakes." Come on, are you kidding me? Is that the best they could come up with to explain away the effects of HAARP and these weather modifications?
Yeah, they put
earthquake machines,
a few charts and some graphs and a map, and create a story, and suddenly that's the truth.
I go, you know, some very esteemed astronomers here in Ogden, the Ott Planetarium. You go and visit with them, and they've been studying astronomy for 30, 40, some one good gentleman in his 80s, so a 50-year veteran. And they ask him, well, these alignments of the planets, can they exert stronger gravitational pulls on the core of the Earth? And they just laugh. He says, no. The moon, which when it's in its cycles, it affects the tides, of course, but the moon is close. That doesn't have anywhere near the gravitational pull of these other planets. It's all a fictional scare tactic of some sort. It's just some wackos. So I said, well, this is coming from the halls of NASA. These NASA scientists, well, who was NASA? NASA is the occult, these black satanic entities that control NASA as well. It's their false flag front.
Yeah, and they're financed by the illegal drug trade that we talked about in Afghanistan, as everyone else is.
So you know, Obama slashes the NASA budget. There's no more space shuttles. ATK and the company that supplies the solid rocket fuel boosters, Thiokol. All these people in northern Utah are thrown out of work. I've got good friends in the neighborhood that have lost their jobs, high-paying jobs. Why can't the space shuttle continue to operate, you see? Oh, golly, it must be because there's this terrible Comet Elenin coming, and Nibiru is going to show up.
Well, and there's also this this dark sun also. You know, we have a second sun. We have to watch out for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps... I have heard this Planet X garbage for at least 20 years. It's always going to come this year, you know, or next year. It's like an ongoing bad record skipping all the time as you're listening to the computers are all going to fry on January 1st, 2000, Y2K story.
Mm-hmm.
People should know better, but we don't have to worry about this comet, this little brown dwarf stars you have to see through a far infrared lens. These aren't going to produce the billions of energy of watts that the HAARP can produce in a heartbeat. I mean, I can't believe people are even thinking about this.
Well, they're looking for answers, and they keep looking outside of themselves, but staying in the box all the while. You see, they have to have someone else tell them what's going on because they can't see it for themselves.
Yeah, as you know, we had Drew Malone Raines making the predictions in March of this cataclysmic event coming. I says, it's not going to happen, Drew. You know it. And Elenin's a smokescreen, and I can't believe you're sitting there sucking it down. Well, the scientists, he would say, scientists have said it. Oh, what scientists? NASA scientists that are on the black ops payrolls? Come on now, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It hasn't happened. Certainly, they've been manipulating things. And notice how bin Laden took everybody's mind off of the radiation or off of Japan. No one's talked about Japan whatsoever. They're talking about the color of bin Laden's beard. Give me a...
And,
go ahead.
And also, of course, the flooding in the Mississippi Delta. As you look at the history of that region, the three massive earthquakes that were that in 1811 and the early part of 1812, the records show that the Mississippi River actually reversed its course during that the February earthquake. Now, we see in that time of the year, too, there was some massive storms. There was quite a bit of flooding in the region, and that precipitated the activity in the New Madrid fault line. So there's ways to cause earthquakes as well to make them even more devastating if you take more, you know, if there's the water tables are altered. That all could be part of this whole scenario as well. Keep in mind, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency out of Virginia Tech, have been studying this for 5 years. The report that they've put out that I've dissected is, this is not just some little science fair project, Don. This is major in every aspect that they've analyzed this, and they know what they can cause.
Yeah, how many times have we reported that on our respective shows or had guests that have reported this?
This is funny thing, Don. In that DARPA report, there's nearly 1,000 pages when you combine with all the reports put out. Not one mention of this earthquake being caused by alanine. By
Planet X.
By Planet X.
Or Nibiru. Why call it Planet X? Why not call it Nibiru? Wasn't that the name?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Oh, no. We have to have two planets out there. You have to have a complete dialectical or Hegelian dialectical argument going on.
Well, do you remember that Disney movie, Bedknobs and Broomsticks? Where they went on this magical ride by the kids and what's her name the woman actor that Murder She Wrote. Anyway, they jump on this magical bed and travel to this mystical place that's run by animals. Animals rule this world. Wasn't that called Nibiru as well?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the movie. I know who the actress is, but for some reason her name doesn't come to me. It's not important, mm-hmm. other than to identify who played the major role. Yeah, it's just, and you want to talk about mythology. They want to criticize the classical writers such as Plato and Socrates and Homer having written mythology, when in reality they were probably telling the truth about everything as they saw it. Maybe masked a bit or veiled a bit in language. But nonetheless, what we're experiencing is off the charts and always been played up to be nothing more than fiction. You see, putting it right in front of us. Well, Drew, we're about out of time. I want to afford you the opportunity to make a closing comment about some of the stuff or everything we talked about, if you would care to.
Sure. There's, while we're just talking, I just went in and just Googled up Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And Miss Price, the spell that's worded there. Again, it goes back in five mystic words. The traveling spell, they call it. Filigree, apogee, pedigree, and et cetera, et cetera. But it does. It goes to Nibiru. They're transferred to this mystical place. Again, so much of what Disney put out is not so much fiction as, you know, it's archetypes of what they're really doing. But so, yeah, we're just, you know, there's something happening. The the Book of Shadows calls for these ritual ceremonies to be performed in the culmination of their grand play, their grand act, the crowning of their serpent king, the king on the staff, the return of Lucifer as Lord. That's their agenda, Don. There's no doubt about it. And they have a tremendous amount of power in the world, it would seem.
Yes, for their purposes, not that
for their purpose. Yeah,
not that we subscribe to them or support them in any way. But this is all one needs to do is look at how they mirror that onto us.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is always, when are people going to wake up and realize what's really going on? All they have to do is open their eyes and open their ears and their hearts and see that this is all evil. One only need to step back for a moment and just look at everything going on the planet. It's pure evil.
Angela Lansbury. That's who it was. Yes. Angela Lansbury. the dialogue, anyway, we don't need to press this too much, but yeah, the magical emblem that they're trying to grab to be able to turn the tide against the Nazis, the Nazi invaders that come on the shore, is this the Star of Ashtoreth.
Hmm.
The Star of Ashtoreth is around the neck of the Lion King, who's in this Nibiru planet. This is a 1971 film.
Well, I have to say, fortunately, I didn't see it. Certainly, well, those films are intended to indoctrinate the children, no doubt about it, to prepare them for this on another level as they get a little bit older.
Yep.
You can see it. Is it any different from Harry Potter? Really?
Nope, not at all.
Or the Pokemon cards that became so famous, even though it's a Japanese card. I mean, if one did the research on the characters that they expose children to, they would realize that they're ingraining all of this in their subconscious mind to be triggered at a later date. And you're witnessing people reacting. You wanted to add to that, I think. I touched the nerve.
Yeah, you're right. And I stand corrected. It's not Nibiru, the mythical, magical place that they went to, the interdimensional sphere, is Nabumbu. Nabumbu. Nibiru. It's close enough. Ashtoreth versus Ashtoreth, and Nibiru versus Nibiru. Nabumbu.
Yeah, it's like Osama bin Obama.
Yeah, golly, it's... Anyway, there it is. I think it's very much part of the magical kingdom. It's part of their agenda, part of what they have planned for the earth. And in closing, just Kissinger said it best, it's the opening of a grand play. And the first stage, the first acts are being played. This is his declaration right at the first of the year of 2011. So with that, I'll say goodnight, Don.
All right.
Pleasure.
Well, I thank you for being on the show. And I want to let the listening audience know that you'll return here to Evident Footprints next Monday. So I look forward to that, Drew. In the meantime, you have a great week. And if I'm going to be on your show, let me know.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
God bless you, Don. Good night.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Chu Ott. You can visit Dr. Ott's site, his website, at atruott.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at bbsradio.com. Com. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. Special thanks go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when I will be continuing my discussion of the Jack Parsons story, Curious Origins of the American Space Program. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.